You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Joe.
And Joel.
From the Editing Bay. Yeah. And as you may have guessed, we are taking the week off. Joel currently is on a road trip.
Where am I now?
I don't know, dude. I like to imagine that right now you and Jenna are kind of living the life of Kurt Russell from that movie Breakdown.
I was thinking more where, Thelma and Louise, where we just drive
off
a cliff.
His wife gets kidnapped by a bunch of like weird truckers and stuff, yes. And then he saves her. Oh, yeah, and he was driving awesome. that red Jeep Cherokee. What color is your car?
Red!
There we go, man.
It's not really, actually. It's...
But I like to imagine, in your situation, you're the one that's going to get kidnapped.
Probably. She'll have to save
Jenna
me.
Has to save you.
Of course. I'm the damsel.
Did you ever see that movie?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a good film, man.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Breakdown.
Maybe coming soon to an episode of The Editing Bay?
Possibly, but right now what we have for you, we've mentioned this episode a lot.
more than we should, probably,
well,
for whenever, something that hasn't happened in 4 years.
When Joel gives like a description of what you could find on the website, he usually says like you could see a picture from our live show. And the live show was something we did, like, what, year one?
It was, like, 4 years ago, yeah.
And we thought, like, oh, this is something we could do maybe, like...
Every year!
Every couple months, or maybe every year we'll do a live show, and we haven't. But that's not to say that the live show was not something that we were proud of. Like, it was something that we really enjoyed. We had a good turnout.
Packed the crowd.
People were totally into it. We had some great great guests that came on and asked some questions.
That's right.
We had Matt Doden join us for the conversation.
Yes, of course. The first appearance, I believe, right? Mr. Matt Doden?
That's right. And we talked about Masters of the Universe, one of Joel's favorites.
Oh, we'll listen further on for my full thoughts, but not my favorite, but not my most hated.
Yeah.
There's a lot to thank
God for Lost in Space.
Yes. Listen to our Lost in Space episode from 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
But for now, check out our live episode where we reviewed Masters of the Universe from 2013.
14. And then we'll see you next week for... What?
I don't know, but if you're following us on Twitter, you'll know what it is. Nobody knows except for you, special Editing Bay listeners.
We don't even know right now.
No, we don't either.
Guys, enjoy the episode. We'll catch you next week.
Hey, here we are.
Plano, Texas.
Woo!
Totally got that cheap out. Look at that. Should I move that up a little bit?
I tell you what, I'll move that up.
You want to move that up?
Yes.
All right. There we go. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Yeah!
Yes, how are you doing? And they're like, yeah. Okay.
No one will ever know that was canned.
Want to thank you for coming out to this thing, our first live movie and then recording thing. So, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, my God. Joe, watching that again for the second time in like 15 years, I can't help but think we picked the perfect movie to show in front of an audience.
Especially for this first one. We are the Editing Bay on the Next Wave Radio Network. My name's Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we are going to be joined by the wonderful, the brilliant, the funny Matt Doden.
All right, Matt,
come on.
There he is.
All right, so you said you've watched that movie twice. Let's display this. We've got our
sure,
t-shirts.
Sure, sure. Hey, everybody.
Right
look
there,
what we designed here that you can purchase out front.
With He-Man's bloody eyes.
And later on the website. It's a play on the logo. It's clever.
It's very well done.
Actually, I should give a shout-out to Jeff Earnshaw for coming up with that design. That was all his idea.
Jeff in the back. Good job.
You like how I call out when nobody's on the mic and I call it out in a podcast.
Right, yeah. No. So you said this was the second time you've seen this?
No, this was the third time. Second time was on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I saw it once in theaters when I was a kid, 12 years old.
Did you see this in the theater?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Well, because I watched the He-Man show. Like, you come home from school.
I watched the He-Man show, too, but my father wouldn't let me go see this.
Why?
I have no idea.
Because of Dolph Lundgren's glistening pecs?
My sister and I got to go. Yes, it was the pecs.
It was too homoerotic.
I don't want you to see that guy's pecs. He's walking around in his furry underwear. I just can't.
His shoulder pads.
I don't want him to grow up to want to see men like that all the time.
But I want to see the He-Man movie.
So, how many times have you seen this, Doden?
One and a half.
This was the half.
This was the half. I saw him for the first time on Wednesday.
All right. In the past 2 weeks to get ready for this thing?
Tell us, Joe.
7 times.
What?
Holy shit.
Why would you subject yourself to that seven times, Joe?
Because we've got an audience and I want to know what the fuck I'm talking
about. Way to be committed to the podcast, Joe. I appreciate that.
So when the movie starts off,
yes.
I don't know if you had the same feeling, if you guys had the same feeling.
Like, probably.
Like we were about to watch fucking Superman 6.
Oh my God. It's such.
The score.
What a John Conte, Williams
Bill
ripoff.
Bill Conti was totally ripping off John Williams.
Absolutely.
Right?
It was a Superman fan film.
But I mean, it was indicative of the time, you know? It was the 80s, mid to late 80s.
And it wasn't even just the music, it was like the way
colors,
the credits came
in,
effects. Yeah.
And it made you think that you were going to see something a whole lot better than what you got.
Yeah, a couple seconds there. I was fooled, along with the rest of the audience.
Obviously a fan of the movie.
Who wouldn't be after watching that?
So this film opens up, and like, there's really no setup. Like, you don't get any setup of who the characters are or what they're doing.
Jumps you right in.
You just know, like, Skeletor and his boys have gone to Eternia, and they have torn up some shit.
Yeah. Where are they from originally? It's like Snake Island or something.
Snake Mountain.
Whatever. It sounds like a ride.
I watched the cartoons all the time, and I saw this.
It's like a ride at Disney World. I don't remember.
Snake Mountain.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you see, like, Skeletor's forces, and they're rounding up a bunch of the Eternians. And I don't know if you noticed this.
Is that what they're called, Eternians?
The Eternians, yeah. They're from Eternia.
All right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Asshole, come on. So they're rounding up these Eternians. I don't know if you noticed, like, there's a couple of guys, and they're, like, walking some guy down this path.
Yeah.
And one dude totally fucking trips.
I did notice that. There are a few gaffes in this movie that, like, just made it on screen.
Yeah, well, and a lot of it, I think, is because they didn't have the opportunity to, like, shoot more takes.
No,
unfortunately. There were no multiple takes.
Listen, it's a miracle that this movie actually made it to screens. It was, I don't know if you know, okay, so canon, you know, the way the movie starts off, you see the name of the film company.
And that was the last time you saw that.
It was literally
logo.
The last movie they made. They went bankrupt while they were making this movie. That whole last fight sequence was funded like 6 months after the fact.
Yeah.
And they had to get some venture capitalists.
When He-Man and Skeletor are fighting each other and suddenly everybody fucking disappears.
That's why it looks so low rent.
And it's just like, it's just like they turned off the lights that they got access
the
to the set.
Yeah. Thank you. Pay no attention to what's happening under the table. This is what you're missing out if you're not at the live show, listeners.
So yeah, in that final fight, it's like they snuck onto the set with a handheld camera,
right?
And the dude, like Gary Goddard had like a light and a spinning gobo, and they just like they just went through like different colors, and he's just like, all right, just fight each other.
Beautiful.
Hit the swords a few times, but don't hurt each other, okay?
Yeah,
you could tell like Dolph Lundgren was always fucking scared whenever he was brandishing a weapon.
He makes the weirdest like faces yes. as he's fighting. He looks like he's stroking out through half of this movie.
Zero fight choreography. He's like, oh my God, I might really die on this.
The guy, well, according to IMDb, the guy who choreographed the fights was the dude who played Blade, who was not Wesley Snipes, by the way. It was
the one who didn't go
but
bankrupt.
His name was Blade. Can we talk about that for a second?
Let's please.
We're like Skeletor is like, assemble your assault crew.
No, this is my favorite.
And,
yeah.
And Evil Lyn's like, okay, yeah, sure. And so a couple minutes later,
roll call.
A couple minutes later, he's like, have you assembled your team? She's like, yes, I have. Your most ruthless mercenary.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, here we go. Merman,
bring it on.
Triclops, Beastman, here we go. And like Beastman shows up. I'm like, all right, kick ass, Beastman. And then like Blade. who the fuck
I don't remember
Blade?
Him from the cartoon. And
Karg. who the hell's Karg? And then Sauron. Who are these guys? I don't know who the fuck these guys
are. I did like the look of Karg, though. He had that huge, like, bouffant hair, just proving that even in the 80s, all the aliens had, like, 80s bouffant hair.
It was
hair.
All about hair, man. Yeah. Like it was Kip Winger under that makeup.
Exactly. He's in a metal rock band.
I
want to talk about the guy who got the shaft there as far as the names go, because everybody had the cool names. Karg,
Wait, one
Blade.
Person got one person got the shaft?
Well, at least those.
Blade? Guess what he uses.
Nah, I know, but then they run over to, like, Beast Man, because he looks like a beast.
Beast Man's the only one that was on the show.
I know, but, like, what a cop-out as far as naming goes. I want, like, Zorg
Well, everybody was kind of like just
Beast Man.
Man-at-Arms, Beast Man.
The main character's named He-Man.
That's true. That's a good point. That's
He-Man.
A salient point.
Where did that come from? You don't get much more generic than
Where
that.
Where did that come from?
That
we
came
know?
From the fact that, the guy who designed the toys was trying to... They were approached, actually. Mattel was approached by the Star Wars people, and they actually wanted him to design the toys for Star Wars.
That's right.
And I guess they said, Star Wars? Really? Toys? Fuck that. That'll never sell.
Yeah, who's going to buy that?
So now this guy decides, okay, I'm going to make these generic toys. And that's what they were. I mean, you saw, like, they were all based on the same model, the same molds. And he went ahead and he was designing these toys. At the same time, the company also had a contract to make toys for Conan the Destroyer. And that's why there's this whole barbarian thing. But he's called He-Man because the design for the toy was that you could throw him into anything. If you were playing with your G.I. Joes, if you were playing with your Transformers, you could throw He-Man into the mix and it wouldn't fuck things up, apparently. Because his name was He-Man and he really didn't have an identity.
Wow, that is the lamest excuse for making toys.
Yes.
Wow.
And they sold like fucking hotcakes.
Ah, I'm telling you, I love the show every weekday from
Snake
like 3
Island.
To 5.
Yeah, you love the show.
It was a long time ago, Joe. I was more of a Transformers.
Okay.
All right.
So there's this whole thing about like a cosmic key.
Okay. You want to jump right to it? Because that's what pisses me off
the
most.
Did you have anything that you wanted
to touch
on before?
Well, first of all, where the fuck is Orko? What's his name?
Orko?
Okor, thank you. Yeah. The little
Okra.
Okor. It's my favorite. Okor?
Orko.
I'm thinking Ortho.
Orko.
From Beetlejuice.
Okay, Orko is a character that flies the fuck around all the time in the show.
He's the best guy. He's like red cape. He's got a little magician.
Do you
magician.
Know how expensive that would have been?
He is. He was my favorite character.
It would have been so expensive. And that's what they cite. Gary Goddard says in a bunch of interviews that he would have been way too expensive to animate at the time to put into the show.
And that's also why we
don't
have...
So that's why we got Gwildor. Yay! Joel
Gwildor.
Created a...
Gwildor every time.
He created a drinking game while we were watching the movie.
Actually, I created the drinking game a couple of nights ago
by
myself when I was watching it.
Okay.
I just brought it into the world
tonight.
Well,
that sounds a little more
You're
sad.
Welcome.
That's a little more sad. So we find out that this character, Gwildor.
Gwildor.
He created this cosmic key, and Skeletor got a hold of it, and that's how Skeletor's forces got like into Castle Grayskull,
mm-hmm.
because Castle Grayskull is so incredibly well defended.
Mm-hmm.
You might know where I'm going. So they end up going into Gwildor's house, they being He-Man and Teela and Man-at-Arms.
Which feels a lot like Yoda's cave.
It was a lot like Yoda's cave. He was a little guy. What do you want?
The character...
Was he supposed to have vaulted fucking ceilings?
I'm just saying.
He's 3 feet tall.
I'm just saying it's one of many ripoffs that this movie has from Star Wars of the Air.
I'm willing to give it a pass on that.
Oh, really? All right. I'll
play. Are
along.
You really
Let's
like
go.
That fucking building? Like, you know what? That whole movie, it was all
been
right,
better.
But that fucking short house, I cannot.
Short guy, short
that.
House. Fuck this guy.
And Okra.
It's that Okra. It's that and like you know the stormtrooper looking guys all look like Darth Vader ripoffs.
But that was a sign of the times, man. That was I mean if you were a force of bad guys, nameless bad guys, and the fact they were robots. They were supposed to be robots. He-Man, they didn't want He-Man to kill any people in this movie.
Well, that's quite apparent, because he brandishes that sword, but I never see him hit anybody with it.
He doesn't hit
He's
anyone.
Deflecting a lot
it
of bullets.
It really kind of just gets in the way.
It really does. He's like, damn, this sword.
At one point, it's falling off of him.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he like runs into a building, he's like shooting some guy, and you see it like unsnap and fall off, but like the next shot, it's all like, you know. It's all secure and stuff.
It's like something he's picked up from a store and like has to get it home. And
right.
Like,
well, I can't just leave it. I paid for this shit. It's a clutch.
They gave him a snazzy cape in this movie, too.
I do like that. Oh, yeah, because he didn't have that in the cartoon.
No,
so what is the point of the cape?
The cape? I don't know.
Again, something else. It just gets in the way.
It's like, I mean, they figure, why not? We ripped off the Superman music. Let's just give him his cape, too.
It's got to be the one thing that's keeping him warm.
It was a nice blanket. It was a nice blanket for Julie to wear the whole movie.
Well, somebody brought up the fact that, like, you know, he's completely bare, like skin, you know, glistening pecs,
uh-huh.
Kind of working myself up thinking
you know,
about it.
Did you realize, like, everybody else's costume in this movie
oh,
was
yeah.
kind of, like, modified to fit, like, the live-action genre?
Yeah, yeah.
Except He-Man,
oh.
who's still just, like, wearing straps across his chest.
Down to the fucking
and
boots.
And his furry man panties.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What did you think about it? Did you think that was a wise decision?
No, it makes no sense whatsoever.
So
when you're fighting intergalactic evil, you want to have as much armor as possible. I don't want to be bare skin, except for the shoulder pads. Katie pointed out. He's got his shoulder pads of power, which help not at all throughout the entire movie.
No,
it's a good thing he had that in the cape to keep him warm.
I've got to tell you that I don't have a problem with the costume. I actually am very curious... as well, why they didn't give him, like, pants in this movie. But at the same time, I kind of feel like, all right, kids are going to come see this He-Man movie, and they're going to expect He-Man to be He-Man. I mean, one of the things that you don't like about the movie is they don't stick to some of the other bits that are canon.
Yeah.
Where, like, Merman or Triclops, you know, you got
Orko.
These other... or okra. You get these other bullshit villains, but I kind of dug what they did with the costumes. They modernized it. Well, modernized it.
Yeah, for 1987.
To work for a live action film. So in that respect, I think the costumes are they were well done. I think they're underappreciated, which I think my friend Garrett had said in the Facebook feed that the costumes were underappreciated, and I agree with that for the most part.
Do you think that Skeletor mask was underappreciated?
All right.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
I didn't realize a skull could blink. I learned something new tonight. I'm like, wow, you can have an orbital socket inside of an orbital socket, apparently. That's awesome.
Maybe he's not really a skeleton. Maybe it's just an alien. I don't know. I can't.
Wow, you are really. It's embarrassing to me.
So, they go to Gwildor's house, and he shows them that he has another key. And no, I've got this key and blah 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 blah. And he's like, "Great!" He-Man says, "Can this get us into Castle Grayskull?
Yeah,
to get to the sorceress." And he's like, "Absolutely, we could do that." He's like, "Well, then can we? Let's do it now." I can't. Skeletor's gonna know where we are if we do that. Oh well, shit. And then like the evil forces show up at his door, and Gwildor's like, "No, don't go out the front. Let's go through this secret cavern. Where does it go?" To Grayskull. Yeah. We'll talk about burying the fucking lead.
Oh, yeah, FYI. I figured I'd throw that in.
Hadn't really thought that plan through.
By the way, Grayskull, yeah, I can get us there. So they get to Grayskull, and they find the sorceress there. And surprise, surprise, Skeletor finds them there in the throne room.
Who could have seen that coming?
And they end up getting into a big fight.
Yeah.
And
pretty exciting, too. A lot of production value there. We got some Star Wars lasers going off.
Huge soundstage.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, they apparently like tore down like a wall and made two soundstages into one.
Yeah.
For this film.
Yeah.
And I think the set was pretty gorgeous.
If you're going to bankrupt your company making a movie, this is the way to do it.
Well, you know, and you brought this
kudos, Canon Films.
I meant to say this when you had said that this movie was what bankrupted Canon.
Yeah.
It wasn't just this movie. It was also Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
Yes, I read that.
Yes.
Leave that out.
Yeah. They put a lot of money into both
coming
of those
soon
movies.
To an episode of The Editing Bay, by the way.
Yeah, that piece of shit easily could have been up here.
Next time, Matt. Next time.
Well, we had half of it again with the score and the cape. All right. So
hold on. Before we move on, since we're talking about money, I do want to point out that this movie, it was made for $22 million, which they really made that dollar stretch. I'm impressed. Unfortunately, it only made $17 million, hence the,
Wow.
Not bad. They were three-quarters of the way there.
It's actually way better than I thought it did.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I could have seen this movie making maybe $5 million.
Well, they had the He-Man buy-in already with
the
brand recognition.
They had the
He-Man
buy-in, but He-Man the cartoon, I made this note, He-Man the cartoon.
You have extensive notes, I should point out. This is the most you've ever.
Because I care about this thing that we do. The original He-Man cartoon ran from 1983 to 1985. Then they like introduced She-Ra in 1985, and that ran till 87.
Ooh.
This movie came out in 87. The tail end.
Way to capitalize.
Definitely, He-Man was not at his peak when this movie came out. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, Jesus, how long was this movie in production? Were they planning on maybe releasing it in 1985?
Well, you know, when you're casting for a movie, you really got to spend the time to find the right He-Man. And clearly they scoured the earth to find fucking Dolph Lundgren, a guy who can't even speak English, not even his first language.
Some asshole sitting in the theater watching Rocky IV going, I like this blonde guy, I think he could be He-Man.
He gets asses in seats.
We've already seen his pecs, we've seen him oiled down, we just put some leather straps on him and man panties. And
does he have
He-Man.
To talk? No? All right.
All right.
He's hired.
Yeah, it seems like they just had to fit the action figure and that was it.
Yeah, this is true. And that's... what we got with a lot of the casting, I mean, you've got all these buff dudes playing these characters like Frank Langella.
Yeah. We should explain to the audience who doesn't know who Frank Langella is.
Who doesn't know who Frank Langella is?
Raise your hands if you don't know who. There you go. Okay, we got a couple of women in the front row. There you go. He is probably best known as,
as Nixon. Have you ever seen Frost Nixon, lady? No?
All right. Strike one.
Get the fuck out. I'm kidding. Stop. Close the door. Don't let her out. You're all trapped here with us. We're going to watch the movie again.
Set the fire. Go.
they end up getting in a fight in the throne room in Castle Grayskull. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Gwildor, get us the fuck out of here. You know, you need to get us a door.
Gwildor.
It was like an episode of Sliders. God, I forget that's a game. Yeah. And so he's just hitting a bunch of buttons and stuff and finally opens a dimensional door.
Yeah.
And they jump through it. And guess where they go?
Jupiter?
Yes, they go to Jupiter.
No.
It turns into a John Carter thing. No, they go to Earth. Because in the 80s, if it was an action movie that took place in some kind of fantasy world, there was a good chance they were going to find themselves on Earth.
Got it. It was probably produced by Canon Films, too, a budget of $22 million.
Your Beastmaster 2 through the portal of time.
And I think you pinpointed like the biggest complaint I have about this movie. Because up until that point...
That they go to Earth?
No, yeah. Because that first 20 minutes, I'm in. I'm buying it. Yeah. Like, you've got these fantastical creatures and the costumes and it's some cheesy... But at least it's in this world and I buy it in this world. The minute we go to Earth, the entire film just comes to a screeching halt and we're reminded, oh, shit. These idiots look silly running around in like spandex and a cape.
What are you saying? You're saying that Courtney Cox looked way better in her little nightgown at the end?
Poor Monica. There was no skin showing. It's like they shot that scene in Iran. It's like we're going to uncover her face, but only for 90 seconds so you can get this last shot. Thank you. Good night.
So they go to Earth and we open up on Robbie's ribs.
Yeah.
In chicken or whatever.
Just
it is.
Just a downer, man.
I don't know where is this. Where is Robbie's? Where did they land on Earth?
It's in a forested area inhabited by cows.
What was that? Hold on. They were where? Oh,
that's
okay.
True.
Yeah, they were going to. They're in California. Okay, so that makes this point even more like relevant to how absolutely stupid Julie is.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently she's had some tragedy. Her parents died in a plane crash.
Oh, really? I didn't pick up on that and by watching it.
They only say it like 8
million
times.
Did they mention it a couple of times?
So they die in a crash, and she needs to start over.
Uh-huh.
And where's she going to start over? She's going to New Jersey.
Hey.
Which already tells you this is science fucking fiction.
It's the land of dreams.
Because who the fuck is like, all right, I'm in California. It's beautiful. I need a fresh start. I'm going to New Jersey.
Even fucking Yakov Smirnoff, when he got off the boat, knew not to go to Jersey.
When he landed in Jersey, he was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Next train.
She's got this boyfriend, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first of all, the first person that that Courtney Cox talks to in this movie is named Monica.
Ooh. Prescient.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. You think casting was going on
when they cast her for Friends, they're like, "What do you want your name to be?" And she's like, "Well, the first movie I ever did, I talked to someone named Monica. Let's do that.
Is this the first movie she was in?
This was other than Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark video.
I'll count that.
Yeah,
it's a tour de force performance.
I guess this was her sophomore smash.
This is more a film than it is a movie. Yeah. So
thank
you.
Did you just go all film snob on me?
Exactly. First of all,
this is a film. Brandy it's not snifter. A movie. You fan of Friends, Doden?
Oh yeah.
You like that show?
Not really.
No.
No! Don't boo!
You just lost the audience.
You haven't watched it lately.
That's true.
When it was on, it was all the shit. Now you watch that shit, it's like
it doesn't hold up.
It does not hold up.
Okay.
Just like this. It's just like this movie. It's underappreciated.
Is it?
I think so.
Uh-oh. We're going to have some disagreements, I think, Joe.
Okay. So she goes she goes into her boyfriend's van and whatever. She brings him chicken.
Yeah.
Or ribs or whatever ribs, the
like
whatever
a girl a good girlfriend should.
Like she's like I brought Jesus. People are like, "It's fucking ribs, motherfucker. Get it right."
Get it right. You saw it 7 times? I don't think so.
I forgot that. So she gives him this bucket of ribs, and he's like, "Oh, great, ribs. That makes for a really romantic date." But then, like, browbeats her about, like, "You're going to make my sound check, right? You're going to make my sound check."
Such a good boyfriend.
Asshole. That's why, you know what,
these
guys?
These musicians, don't date them.
Fuck musicians.
Thank
really.
You. Any musicians in the audience?
Yeah.
Only
you don't want to date
only
him.
About
so
half
is that
the
like
audience.
That sensitive guy with the guitar when you go to those parties? You know, you're having a good time. Maybe you're talking to a girl. You're making some headway, and some asshole with a ponytail comes out with a guitar, and he's like, "Hey, I wrote this song," and he plays basically Violent Femmes like slowly. Something flicking. So he's like, "So you can make my sound check?" She's like, "No, come on, you can make my sound check." Okay, I guess so. And then while they're driving away, she's like, "Kevin, if you don't mind, I'd like to go by the graveyard and say goodbye to my parents." And he's like, "Yeah, sure."
Well, listen, it was on the way to the high school.
These two are both like the ultimate dicks to one another
throughout this
whole movie.
Well, she's already content dicks. To have broken up with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was moving away. Yeah, she was starting to, the bench is warming up
starting,
to somebody else.
Starting a new life. I really wish they would have outlined that maybe like she knew somebody in Jersey. to explain that
no, the last thing this movie needs is more exposition with these there fucking was, characters. There was I'm no, telling you, it goes from this kick-ass sci-fi, science fiction movie to
a very touching love story.
To like an episode of, All in the Restless. What's it called? Give me a. I just combined All in the Family with Young and the Restless.
Little House on the Falcon Crest. They go to the graveyard. I don't know if you caught this. They go to the graveyard, and she decides to open up to Kevin. She's like, yeah. It's my fault that they're dead. And he's like, what? No, it's not.
She's like, no, it is.
It's my fault. He goes, no, baby, their plane crashed. Those things just happened.
Things just happen.
No, they actually don't.
That's
like, there's
kind of
a specific
rare
reason
thing.
Why planes crash.
That's
yeah?
right, and it's news every time it happens.
But she says, it's my fault that they're dead because I told them I had to study because I wanted to spend the day with you.
By my fault, I mean your fault.
Yes! Exactly. Totally. Totally just transposing that blame onto him.
You know, I think these two kids are going to make it. I think they're going to go the distance.
Well,
they're just going to get through this hardship. And
at the time, Joel, I didn't think they were going to make it, but thank God He-Man came along.
Wow. Yep.
And through the power of Grayskull, I think he brought them together.
Glistening pecs and all.
Yes. So they find the key, and they start. He thinks immediately it's like a Chinese or Japanese synthesizer.
Yeah, of course.
And
it's totally logical.
Yeah, right? Because he's a musician. So everything
I'm going
to
fucking play
music.
This thing. I'm going to play the Cosmic
I love how that's his first idea when he finds it. No, this is from Japan. Oh, this is awesome. Equalizer. And then goes to the musician. Sort like throughout the rest of the movie, every time somebody thinks it's Japanese, he's like, no. It's not fucking from Japan. Like, this was your idea. You introduced this idea. Don't fucking browbeat everybody else because they had the same thought you did.
That's not the first time he does that, too.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, he does it to Charlie.
No. And I'm not just talking about just with this thing. Oh, like, yeah. He changes his stance on shit all the time throughout this movie. Like, there's a point where he gets, like, this collar put on him, and he's got to tell Evil Lynn the truth about where the key is.
Yeah.
And then He-Man and his friends show up with Julie, and they take the collar off of him. And he's like, who the fuck are these people, Julie? We can't help them. And she's like, no, they're my friends. And he's like, what, your friends, Julie? And like, He-Man explains, very well, like, hey dude, chill out. That key, it gets us back home so we could save our sorceress and defeat Skeletor.
Right.
And this dude is like, Julie, are you really believing this? Like, after everything he's seen.
Yeah, I know.
He's still like, what, are you really believing this? And at one point, He-Man even asks, are you going to help us? And both Julie and he answer at the same time. She says yes, he says no.
No, yep.
And then 4 minutes later, they go to Charlie's, and he's like, dude, you got to help these fucking people. We got to get them home. Like he's
somewhere on the cutting room floor, there's a scene in that pink Cadillac where they had a little heart-to-heart, and he came around, apparently. Were they in the pink Cadillac at that point?
I love you for your pink Cadillac.
I can't believe they didn't use the song for that.
I can't believe they didn't use the song, I've Got the Power.
It was too early. This is 87.
Was it too early?
Yeah, it was like
91. It hadn't come out yet?
No.
Fuck me. So, so they end up going back to the music store, and big fight breaks out, and Julie is fooled by Evil Lynn that, like, her mother is actually a secret agent.
What a dumb bitch.
She really is so
stupid. Oh, my God.
She's so fucking
one-track mind. You're yap. Your fucking parents said, get over it. It was a year ago.
She's been attacked by, like, monsters, and, like, this dude with a fucking, with no shirt on and no pants and a sword is like, don't worry, I'm going to protect you.
Yes.
And like, she sees all this shit happens, but then, like, when her mother shows up.
It's
got to
be real.
This obviously has to be my mom.
100% of the things surrounding her have been supernatural.
In an alleyway, now was the time.
I'm jumping all over the place here. If you've got anything that either one of you wants to bring up,
let's keep going.
With this,
I'm still stuck on Orko, frankly.
Really?
The pain is still too near.
God, man.
He's what made He-Man for me, and you can't fucking make a He-Man movie without Orko.
Did anybody else here watch He-Man when you were a kid? Okay, by show of hands, was your favorite character Orko?
How about the favorite
toy?
The toy was awesome. He was like wind up. He'd go around in a little circle. His head. He was a he was a bobblehead before bobbleheads.
So we totally jumped over the fact that like Kevin is he brings this girl. Her she's moving away. Like this is the final night they're going to spend together, and they're in a gymnasium where he's doing his sound check or whatever. And then he tells her he's like, hey. Hang out here. I'm going to go over to Charlie's and show him this thing that I've got. Like, why the fuck would you leave her? Like, this is your final night with one another. And so he goes, and like 2 seconds later, the forces of evil like show up. Our villains, Karg and Sora
and Beastman
and Blade.
The aptly named
first day
Beastman.
In the costume, apparently.
I'm pretty sure it was Peter Mayhew from Star Wars. Like, these are the roles. These are the roles that Peter Mayhew gets.
Too short.
Suddenly
too short.
The audience is like, you lay the fuck off of Chewbacca, man.
Wow.
That was really
He's
good.
He's in the room.
so they attack her, and the gymnasium catches on fire. The gymnasium actually caught on fire, too.
Did it
like,
really?
That fire got out of control, and nice. They almost burned down the fucking school.
Is that why they couldn't finish the filming of this movie? The budget ran out? They had to replace an entire high school?
The budget did run out. We did talk about that. The budget did run out. So the place catches fire. Julie manages to escape, and that leads to her meeting He-Man. But, like, this Kevin finds out that like all these emergency vehicles are heading to the school, and he's like, "Oh shit!" You know, they're listening to the police scanner. And he's like, "Oh shit! That's where Julie is." In the movie, he doesn't actually say, "Oh shit!" This is I'm adding my
it's
own PG-13
flowery dialogue. Folks.
And so he goes out there, and that's when we meet the best fucking character in this movie.
The highlight for me,
Lubick.
What?
Officer Lubick. What did you think the highlight was?
I know him as Principal Strickland.
Well, he's not Principal Strickland.
He's always Principal Strickland to me. he's fantastic the guy from in this
Top
movie.
He is fucking awesome. And I'm sorry. In the realm of cops in movies, Lubick is the only cop in a movie that ever does his fucking job. Like, he's ever doing
he's taking
his job.
Notes.
Like, he's taking his... Kevin's like, yeah, my girlfriend was in there. And he's like, hey, oh, yeah, your girlfriend was in there? You were the last people there, so that makes you suspects? That's fucking logical. So, he, you know, Kevin's like, dude, yeah, she's like, you know, 5'4", and brown hair, and blah, blah, blah. And he's writing it down. And Kevin's like, is that all you're going to do? You're going to write?
Whiny.
Why'd you do something?
Yes. Why'd you do something? What the fuck am I going to do? Like, I'm taking a fucking note so I can find out what she looks like so we can put an APB out and find
it's
this
called
chick.
Called police work, Kevin.
Exactly.
Look it up.
Kevin's a fucking asshole.
He really is.
I hate Kevin.
He gets his comeuppance.
But Lily cracks me up how he speaks to him like all in a sarcastic tone, yet he's doing exactly what he says. He's like, oh, we're going to take you for a little ride. We're going to go find your girlfriend. She's at your house. And they pull up at her house. Come on, we're going to go find her.
It's like, wait, what are you
We're actually doing these things.
Spider man, come on, you said it.
Lubick is the best / worst / best at sarcasm. That's what it is. But no, you're absolutely right. He does. He does that the whole time. He's like, oh, yeah? She's down there? Well, let's take a little ride and see. And they do take a little ride and see.
And that's like, where he says my favorite line, like as they're getting in the car and they're leaving the crime scene. He's like, keep the coffee hot. It's going to be a long night. Like, that is so classic Strickland.
Did you feel like the whole place turned into like Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Like they even called it out.
Yeah.
But like the fact that the streets are bustling when Kevin goes to Charlie's shop.
Thank you.
Streets are fucking bustling with activity. And then like the moment shit hits the fan with the bad guys,
not a
fucking soul.
It's always shot at night and nobody's gone. Like there's not even a scene of like people fleeing. Like I would have bought it if at least they would have had one shot of people fleeing the scene, coming out of their houses. Oh, look, there's a giant fucking spaceship that's flying over us right now.
When He-Man's doing his shit on the hoverboard.
Yeah.
And
that
like,
might turn some
maybe
heads.
Like two or three people going, oh, look, it's fucking, what, is that Fabio on a fucking hoverboard? what the fuck is going on? And no, nothing, none of that. And, you know, it's touches like that make movies like this that kind of, I wouldn't say that it grounds it in reality. It just, but it gives you a little bit of perspective on it. It's kind of like in Spider-Man 3 when the dude's like, "He stole that guy's pizza."
Oh,
we
yeah.
need a stole that guy's pizza guy in this movie.
That's what was missing.
This
would have gone from 18% on Rotten Tomatoes to at least high 70s.
Dude, you know what? I Rotten Tomatoes can go fuck itself because this movie.
I think they're pretty spot on.
I'm putting this movie on like at 60% at least.
What?
Oh yeah.
Joe.
Easily.
I think you've watched it one too many times this week. You need a little bit of separation to
let
it breathe.
I'll tell you this. The writing in this movie is kind of atrocious. It's kind of atrocious.
Well, it's a good thing we can't understand what he's saying anyway.
From a dialogue standpoint, the movie's bad. But as far as plot goes, like how cool that they kind of jump into it in the middle of it. You know, we've seen He-Man win in the cartoon over and over and over and over again. And so now we're introduced into this world where Skeletor's won. He's basically taken over. He's got what he wants. And he's not... And I know some people are kind of like, man, I wish he was the idiot Skeletor. And there's a part of me that wishes he was like, nah, you know, that
idiot Skeletor is so much more fun.
No. And this one, like, because he's animated. He's a cartoon. Yeah.
And He-Man runs the shit. Now it's turned around. It's like, oh, He-Man's like, I'm the outcast. He's the rebel. You know, Skeletor's been running shit now.
Yeah, like, well, no, he is because it changes things up a little bit. It ups the stakes for He-Man because we've seen him win over and over again. And we've seen He-Man work from a defensive standpoint. Now He-Man's the outsider, and he's got just a small band of rebels, and he's got to take back control. It's taking a little bit from that whole Star Wars rebellion thing and fighting the Empire. Maybe it's stealing a lot from the old Star Wars bit.
Thank you.
But it does it in its own little He-Man way, and I thought Frank Langella was really good as Skeletor.
Yeah, he's fantastic. It's too bad I can't see his face and appreciate the subtleties in his acting.
You didn't catch the subleties in his performance. Even with that makeup on, you didn't catch any subtleties.
You're right. it's in the eyes that he shouldn't have. That's exactly right. No, you're right. I'll give it that.
But the Skeletor in the cartoon should have muscles.
That's a good point.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. No, I honestly, I have some admiration for this film. I like what Gary Goddard did. I like that he paid attention to color temperatures back and forth between the heroes and the villains.
All right.
You know, you could tell he's got a classic theatrical background because he kind of approaches it from a theatrical standpoint. Okay. He's telling a story visually with not only the characters, but also with the settings, with the colors, with the mood. I dug what he was doing visually with this thing.
Did he do it with the casting? Because that's where I think it kind of falls short, aside from Frank Langella.
And Billy Barty is Gwildor.
Yeah, which,
I did that just so they could do that.
I kind of enjoyed him too, actually.
Yeah.
But I guess I was projecting a little bit from Willow Days, because I know him best as the...
Pick which finger is the most powerful.
No apprentice this year. Billy Barty is that little short guy who was anytime they needed a short guy, that's who they got.
And now it's
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, which I have for my casting.
Oh fuck! We'll spoil that one.
He would be Gwildor. So what did you think? What did you think about the like the production of this film, Doden?
The production was uneven, to say the least.
Being kind.
Some of the color temperatures didn't really fit for me.
You were feeling it?
A lot of the exterior.
You didn't like that pizza sign when they go into that that fenced in part? That pizza sign was great.
No, a lot of the exteriors at night, you can barely see what's going on. It was really
that was just
poorly
in here,
lit. That may have been the projector.
That was the projector.
Studio breaker.
Perhaps.
No, you're making.
You're not missing much.
You're not. But I still liked it. But you're not missing much. But I liked it. But you're not missing anything. But I liked it. I liked that movie.
Well, if you want to say, like, how's the movie? Well, the color temperatures were really nice.
I know. What an asshole.
Two thumbs up. That's a nice mood lighting. How's the dialogue? No.
The plot of the story. I liked the plot. I liked what was going on. Even with, like, the bullshit Earth stuff that was going on. They do the same thing with movies like Alien versus Predator. Like, you could give me a two-hour movie of just aliens and predators fighting each other, and I'm happy. You don't need to put humans in there. I don't need to know what anybody's thinking.
Yeah.
I'll just watch a silent film of aliens and predators just going at it. But they always throw humans in, and they're like, oh, man, I wish this girl liked me. And then, like, they're eventually, like,
saying.
An hour later,
Let's
they're like...
Let's go to a cemetery.
Exactly. If they make a He-Man musical, I really want Let's Go to a
Let's
Cemetery.
Let's all go to the cemetery.
Really
Let's all go to the graveyard.
And then, like, that's when the song ends with, like, the thing falling into the ground. I thought there were good touches in this movie. I liked the when he's trying to figure out the tones, and he's hearing, and, like, the score suddenly becomes what you're hearing on the overhead. And he's like, man, I wish I could concentrate on just hearing this. And Teela, like, pulls out her gun and just blasts it. And he goes... Oh, thanks. Like it was a subtle bit of delivery. I like that little touch.
That was fine. I was always distracted every time Teela was holding a gun. Like she'd never. Where's the trainers on set? That's like arms outstretched. Instead, she's like pew pew with like her elbows punched in. Yeah, exactly. Impeccable aim, but she's like not even looking at where she's pointing.
That is the Eternian warrior stance.
Like a velociraptor would hold a fucking gun. Just
exactly.
Just alligator arming it.
It's the dinosaur stance. When she's riding her vehicles in Eternia, maybe she has to... I don't know.
That would have been great to see on screen, Joe. Tell me more about that. It sounds fantastical. Like it's in another world.
It would
not Earth, of course,
but
another world.
On Eternia.
All right. Were Teela and Man-at-Arms... I kept calling him Man-of-War. which okay. is not wrong, but Manowar, okay. whatever. Ortho. From Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Were they
I know the movie, that's why I made the
thank
reference.
Thank you. It's for the audience. Were they always father and daughter?
Yeah.
Even in the cartoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense.
They were always father and
that
daughter.
That explains why this fucking guy looks like Jerry Orbach from fucking Law and Order.
Why did they cast this octogenarian? Like in the cartoon.
Who I've never
Jerry
seen
Orbach would have been great in this.
He would have been, God rest his soul.
He is a breadstick.
Yeah, this guy, like in the cartoon, he's this big, brawny guy. He's wearing armor. Like
everybody's big and brawny in the cartoon.
Kick ass. Yeah, I know, but why get this frail old guy to play a man at war?
Man at arms.
Man at arms, thank you.
The man at arms is a man at war.
I wasn't there in the casting room.
Right. That didn't bug you, though?
No, I didn't think he was the worst performer in the movie.
Who was the worst performer in the movie?
The guy from Star Trek that played Kevin. I thought he was pretty fucking horrible.
God, he is pretty bad. Yeah. It's a shame we haven't seen him much.
Bless his soul, Dolph Lundgren wasn't very great.
Is he dead? Why are you saying it like that?
Because he should be.
Oh, wow. You heard it here first, folks. Joe calls for a fatwa on Dolph Lundgren.
Bring me his skull. I will drink my MGD out of Dolph Lundgren.
Ironic if it were a skull that you brought.
No, you know what, I could probably just put it on those two. Even Courtney Cox. And Courtney Cox as well. She didn't do a very good
job.
Everybody else. They're back!
How about
when her mom turns into
when
Evil
Lyn? When she discovers Lyn, her mother...
No! It just doesn't know where she wants to grab her own face. It's like if you ever read the Game of Thrones books, The Red Wedding...
I don't read.
Spoiler alert. The Red Wedding, when it's all right. I'm going to spoil it for you. When Catelyn, and then we won't go to each other's New Year's parties. No. It's an inside joke. Howie spoiled Dexter for me. So when she's at the Red Wedding and she sees Robb Stark get killed in the book, she rips her own eyes out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because it's like...
That would have been great if Monica...
Like Julie just, like, rips her own fucking eyes out.
I would have loved to have seen her just, like, pull off a fake mask. Like, no! And it's, like, Jennifer Aniston underneath.
If we could have recast this whole movie with the cast of Friends, who would have played what?
Oh, I'm glad you said that, Joe. I actually thought about this and I had that.
Well, did you really?
First of all, bearing the lead here, but this is my recast. So obviously, Matt LeBlanc is going to be He-Man, right?
Sure.
He's kind of dumb. He's kind of muscular. He can fight. I like him.
Okay.
Courtney Cox, obviously Tila. She's the brunette.
She wouldn't reprise her role as Julie?
No, we got it. No.
Oh, okay.
She's way too old for that role now.
But the rest of them are young enough?
That's a good point. Look past that.
All right.
I like Matthew Perry's going to be Gwildor, of course. Because he's like the comedic sidekick.
Okay.
They do that thing Andy Serkis does where he's...
Please tell me David Schwimmer's Skeletor.
No, David Schwimmer is a man at arms.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who's Skeletor?
Skeletor is Jennifer Aniston. Because
I can
see through that facade deep down. She has a
corrected.
Dark soul.
She does, yeah.
And Lisa Kudrow can only play the role of the sorcerer.
Did we just go through your actual recasting of the movie?
Yeah, that's my recast. I have two, don't worry.
Oh, okay, good.
That's the first.
Good. I cannot believe you had that prepared. Good job.
I see your three pages of notes, Joe, and raise you an iPad.
No, you did really good. Why does Gwildor always look surprised whenever he opens up the cosmic?
Even towards the end, like he's
like,
then,
it's working. It's like, asshole. This is what you programmed it to do, right? Like, if you're this surprised it's working, yeah. I don't think I want to travel around with you.
He just gets lucky a whole lot. He's like, it's working. It's working.
I mean, of course, I meant for that to happen.
It's really exactly where I wanted to go.
The part at the end. Did that strike you a little Wizard of Ozzy, where like they're getting ready to go back home?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And Gwildor,
yay!
Has like all these ribbons and stuff in his hair, like the lion at the end of Wizard of Oz.
That's true.
And they even do like the whole like I'll miss you the most, He-Man, you know, and hugs him. Like it felt like they just completely took that from Wizard of Oz. Like they were in a hurry. Like we need to end this. How should we end this? Wizard of Oz. Let's just go Wizard of Oz.
Well, Joe, I actually have an idea of how they could have ended this movie. Like an hour and a half earlier. So, all right, so we're at the end now, right? You know, Skeletor's been defeated. He fell like the Emperor did down to his death in this, you know.
See, I thought he fell just like Hans Gruber did to his death.
Or that's true. In slow-mo. No.
Or like Emperor Palpatine.
That's what I said, the Emperor.
Like Emperor Palpatine.
I'm sorry.
You have to say his full name.
Jesus Christ. The sleeves are rolled up. Oh! Rolling out the tat.
Yes. Yeah, so, no, so he does so, fall down. He
so
falls in the
they're
the
getting pit. Ready to leave back home. And, you know, yeah, I'll miss you too, Scarecrow, most of all. And as they're leaving, as they're walking into the white, you know, Patrick Swayze ghost light as yes. they're going back home.
I've got a note about this.
What's his name? Gwildor. Says, where do you want to go?
They're so over it now.
Where do you want to go? We can send you anywhere, anytime, past or future. What the fuck?
And they're both
this
like,
is a time machine now?
Yeah, right?
That would have been helpful in Act 1 when we were trying to defeat Skeletor. You could have just taken him back in time.
Uh-huh. Where you've been like, hey, how about we go to Eternia 2 months ago?
Exactly. And, when we weren't losing
the
battle.
And go to Snake Island and find Skeletor.
Never going to live that
we'll
down.
We'll bring our buddy Okra with us. And we'll stop this whole thing from happening. No,
how
I
did they just slide that in at the last minute?
That's not the note that I made, but that's a good point.
Oh, let's
no, the note that I made is that Kevin is a complete dick to Julie, who, like, they're going through the portal, and, like, Julie turns around, and she's like, no, wait, Gwildor, I've got another. And fucking Kevin's still pulling
let's
her
go.
Through the portal.
Time to go. No time.
Like, yeah, silly woman. She doesn't have anything worth anything to say.
Your parents are dead. Let it go.
She's going to want to go back to prom or something. Maybe have to go back to the graveyard to see her parents and say goodbye. It's such a drag.
You send me to New Jersey.
I just want
to. And but also,
you're right. They're both like, we just got to go home.
Yeah, like
just,
to
what?
Just get this over
to
with.
To what?
Well, and, like the entire movie, she's been whining about her dead parents, too. It's like, hey, here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's an afterthought.
It's an afterthought, but apparently Gwildor reads her mind. Because they do get to go back. Either that or Gwildor just isn't a complete fucking moron. And it's like, hey, I bet this chick would be a lot happier if her parents were still alive. Let's go ahead and fix this.
It's a lot like what Doc Brown did at the end of Back to the Future, where he rips the letter up.
Uh-huh.
And then we find out, spoiler alert, Katie, that he actually taped it back together.
I taped it back together.
He had a change of heart.
Yeah, he did. And so are you saying Gwildor had a change of heart?
Maybe. He was prescient in that time. Let's just move on.
Courtney Cox's nightgown. So Courtney Cox's nightgown.
Holy shit.
She wakes up in this thing.
That's some serious PJs.
It's right? She hear that? The Amish wouldn't even wear that.
Jazz it again.
So she wakes up in this thing. Oh, my God. It's like a turtleneck nightgown. It's like something you would have seen in like a 1950s Sears catalog. I'm getting ready to go to sleep.
I was claustrophobic.
She wakes
her
up in
that.
This thing and immediately is like, huh, what? And runs downstairs to see, and like the furniture is all set up, mm-hmm. the house is set up, and nothing's in boxes anymore. By the way, Skeletor's troops, total dick to moving boxes.
Like, oh, yeah.
They hate the fuck out of some moving boxes. They go in that house and they're tearing shit up. It's like, dude.
There are people standing around with, I'm going to get it to you next. Well, but first,
they got the collar
this U-Haul
on.
Has to
they
go.
Have the collar on Kevin and they're like, where's the key? A policeman took it. He just left. And these guys are still looking around. Hey, it's
they're
something.
Smashing shit that wouldn't even contain. Eternians hate cardboard.
They do. It's their natural enemy. Kind of like bears and trains.
What?
I don't know. So she wakes up and she finds her parents, and yeah. they're still there or whatever. And first off, I really would have thought like she would have tried to like pull her mom's face off to make sure it wasn't evil.
Yeah, you think she learned the first time,
yeah.
right?
But buys she right into trusting. It. Yeah, yeah. So she ends up taking. She's like, "Don't go, don't get on the plane. Your father's an excellent pilot. No, don't get on the plane." She takes the maps and the keys and is like, "I love you," and then takes off. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just love the point of view of her parents.
Like, you know, like
our daughter just lost her fucking shit.
She's what great.
And what the fuck was she wearing? So, and she runs off. She runs into like the neighborhood,
the street,
wearing
yeah.
this stuff.
Yeah.
And Kevin shows up and he's wearing the same gear he's had on the whole movie. The whole movie. He just comes running out. He's like, "Don't let your parents get on the plane. I already stopped him." Good. And he's got like this like marble or whatever. And
yeah.
they're like, "It really happened." And they look into it and there's like He-Man with like a toy yeah. castle. Like it's clearly a toy castle behind him. And he does the I have the power
I
thing.
Have the power.
And that's where you end it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Or is it?
When you begin the movie, you begin the movie with them on Eternia with the battle. Why would you not bookend it with an ending in Eternia and just end it at that with them just going back?
He's E-Man. He's got the shit wrapped up. It's good.
But that's my point. He didn't wrap it up. We didn't wrap it up with the title character. Well, it's, I mean, he is the master of the universe, I guess.
He is the master of the universe. He's E-Man. He beat the Liberace doubt Skeletor.
Yes. What was up with that, by the way? What was going on with Skeletor, like, all golden and stuff?
He turned fabulous.
He leveled up.
That scene went on forever. I think he was like going off script a little bit. In fact, my Wikipedia research says that he did kind of like ad lib some lines and really try to get Shakespearean with it, which I respect him for. Except not in the third act when we're an hour and 40 minutes into this fucking piece of mess.
He gets literally Shakespeare. He goes literal Shakespeare.
That's true.
In one scene, he says, "I am not in a giving vein this day," which is from Richard III.
Yep.
And then like
what, we all knew that, right? Common knowledge.
At the beginning, Gwildor says, "I don't like adventures," which is a reference to The Hobbit.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I don't like adventures.
Oh.
Yeah.
He looks like a hobbit, too. Piecing it together.
Wow. You just hate short guys, don't you? You just hate short guys.
I bet he has hairy feet, too.
Fuck, man.
Don't take a personal joke.
And it's like I didn't even stand up. It's like, I was still just sitting down, moving around. All right, so is there anything else that you want to talk? Oh, okay, so they introduced She-Ra in 1985.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why no She-Ra in this movie? Like, why no reference? Was like I would have liked to have seen at least a reference.
I would have liked to have seen She-Ra in the outfit. Let's see what they're going to do, huh? You can save some wardrobe costs there.
All right, Katie. I'll send you some Google searches. We'll get you a costume.
Yeah, all cosplay. Right.
I was a little upset. No She-Ra. But how cool that they didn't go the Prince Adam dual identity thing?
Is it cool?
I think so.
I kind of expected the Prince Adam dual identity.
But why? What would
because it's part of the cartoon, that's why I'm seeing the damn movie!
Fair enough. That is an excellent argument.
Maybe they were saying
Battlecat
wasn't in it. Oh, way too cost
prohibitive. No way. No cringer.
You're going to get a fucking trained Bengal tiger.
But wait a minute. They did it in Beastmaster.
Oh, that's true.
There was a tiger also following Mark Singer around throughout that whole movie. You could have done that. I don't think you could have had him ride the tiger. Ride the tiger! you couldn't have had him do that.
That's a good point.
Maybe no, he's clean!
Maybe they were saving She-Ra and... What's the tiger's name?
And Cringer?
Big fan, obviously.
And Battlecat for the sequel.
Which was going to happen. This was in production.
They made costumes and set pieces script. For it. And then they ended up using it for a movie called Cyborg.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Those costumes were supposed to be in Masters of the Universe 2.
And besides from the production company going bankrupt, I wonder also if it's the fact that they couldn't get their lead back. Like Dolph Lundgren, he was asked back, and he was not having any of it. He said, what's the quote here? I have the quote. He said it was the lowest... Adrian!
That was Stallone.
I know. He said it was the lowest point of it as an actor.
That was his lowest
point? That was his quote, yeah.
Not the Punisher?
That's saying a lot.
Second lowest point. He was so embarrassed, apparently, making this movie. I don't know if it's the
costume. He's changed his tune since then.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Do you want to come back?
Now that he's not getting real work, he's like hanging out with Stallone whenever he makes an Expendables movie. Well, that's pretty much it.
That's a good point. And
but
Sony,
now he's like, I'd be happy to come back and maybe even play He-Man. I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen. You're going to be He-Man again.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Yes.
But Sony is planning a reboot, apparently.
They've been planning a reboot for like 10 years now.
Yeah, but they've got like directors attached.
They've had directors attached for 10 years.
Don't rain on my parade, Joe.
I've been
this
raining on your parade directors. For 10 years now.
The promise of Orko will be fulfilled. In 2014.
It is.
Bite your tongue.
There's going to be a Netflix series. The Daredevil Netflix series.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's actually happening. Yeah, that's right. Dexter's playing Daredevil. Dex-devil. Daredevil.
All right, so if no Dolph Lundgren in this proposed reboot, you want to move on to this?
Do you want to do the recasting now?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay, all right, cool. Do you have anything down for this, Doden? Yeah, he does.
This is my favorite part of the show, by the way.
Okay, well, since you brought it up.
Oh, shit.
You go ahead and start.
All right, well, we'll go by character. You want to do it? We've done that before.
Jesus, Joe, whatever you want to
do. All right, here we go. He-Man, also known as a.k.a. Prince Adam.
On this movie.
I'm going.
Doden's going to go home and like hit his son and be like, there was no Prince Adam.
Sorry, pulled the Band-Aid off of that wound there. I'm gonna go with the low-hanging fruit and say Channing Tatum. He's got the look. He's got the chops. Yeah, we've got
apparently
some
he's got a
female
little bit of
fans
a
in the audience. Maybe we diversify the audience a little bit in the future.
That's not bad.
So Channing Tatum, what do you got?
For He-Man, my casting of He-Man, I can't pronounce his name. Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. He plays Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones.
Not a real name.
It's not. It's a made-up name. The guy who plays Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones, I have him cast as He-Man. I like that, you know, he's not, like, overly huge, but he's still, like, in excellent shape. He knows how to use the medieval weaponry and stuff.
All right.
I think that he'd be a good guy. He's got some good acting chops.
All right.
Yeah. And he can speak clearly.
Is English his first language?
I also had Channing Tatum.
Oh! All right, well, then my runner-up is...
How often have you had him?
Ew!
Only this once, Joe.
I just hit my face. I
swear to God.
My runner-up is Ryan Gosling, of course. So it's okay. You can have your Channing.
Ryan Gosling is He-Man?
Yeah, dude.
I have the power. By the power of Grayskull, if you're a bird, I'm a bird.
That's more than Dolph Lundgren said in this film.
Coherently, at least.
I like him in that.
Okay, how much did you guys cast? Because I cast just about the whole damn thing.
I've got about 8 characters here.
Oh, wow. You've got...
You guys got another half hour here, audience?
I've got way more. So
no, we'll blow through these.
Okay,
yawns from the front row.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's go to Skeletor.
All right, go ahead.
I like John Leguizamo.
John
Leguizamo. Listen... Close your eyes and listen to John Leguizamo's voice. He fucking sounds like Skeletor from the cartoon. Exactly. Well, he'd be like a CG. He'd be like tennis balls all over his body, and he'd do it all in a green screen.
He'd go Andy Serkis.
He'd go Andy Serkis.
Wait.
John Leguizamo is Skeletor. Yeah. You can't deny it.
I'm imagining him from the Spawn movie, dressed up like the clown. Because we saw how well that turned out. My casting for Skeletor, people might like this. They may not.
I think people like my John Leguizamo, asshole.
I think they're going to like this one more.
Let's hear it.
I went with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh! He already kind of has the sunken eyes.
He's already got the skeleton, and he's got the voice.
Mm-hmm. Bring me He-Man.
Who do you have for Skeletor?
I had Al Pacino.
Yes.
I've taken over Grayskull! Hoo-ha! I asked for He-Man half an hour ago!
Now you've got to do one, Joel. You've got to do one. You've got to do it. You've got to do an impression.
I don't know any lines from...
You've got to do an impression. Hurry up.
Oh, shit. I'm pulling a blank here.
We did...
Say hello.
Never mind.
That's
okay.
Damn it.
Who do you have next?
I'm moving on. So Man in Arms... Uh-huh. Or Man of War, as I like to call him.
Man of War.
How about Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec? Okay. He's got the mustache.
Not bad.
He looks like he could kick some ass.
Okay. I cast my Man at Arms, Jeff Bridges.
It's odd casting. But
why odd casting? I'll we saw what it. He did in Iron Man.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
He played a heavy.
A little old.
I had William H. Macy. He's a little shorter, but, you know.
That's true. We'll use some forced perspective.
When you think action, think William H. Macy.
I'm going to kill you. All right. How about Teela? Move on to Teela, or
okay,
you had some more options
there? Man, I've got so much.
Okay.
Go on.
Oh, really?
She's already been proven, as we've seen in the Avenger movies and the new Captain America 2 movie, Kobe Smulders. You may know her as Robin from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
I like her in the Teela.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one. I like that one. I went with Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought she kind of resembled the chick that played Teela in this movie.
Do you know who that chick is, by the way?
That's Chelsea Field. She was in Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
And Mary. Yeah,
she was a flight attendant.
Married to Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
Bakula?
Uh-huh.
Count Bakula?
No, Scott Bakula.
Who do you have for Teela, sir?
I had Rooney Mara.
Oh, I love her.
Girl with the dragon tattoo.
I'll go Kate Mara, too. I'll go any of the Mara sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mara it up.
All right. I want to make you that T-shirt.
Mara it up. Mara it up. What do you got next?
Getting Maddie Mara in here.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Did we already go through all yours?
No, I've got a few more.
All right, go ahead.
For Gwildor, of course, we already spoiled it, but Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Yep. it's the only
was it really?
The only one. Across the board.
Nope, I'll go Brad Williams instead of
Peter Dinklage. There you go. Comedian Brad Williams. Also a little person. How about Emily?
Nobody went like Warwick Davis. I find that kind of funny.
Isn't he? Well, that's...
He's not dead.
That's the easy choice.
He's as dead as Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, Mini-Me, Vern Troyer. That's not a bad choice.
That's a good one. We're actually going to open up the mic for you guys to like tell
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold on to that. Evelyn? Or Evelyn, Evelyn. I'm sorry. It's spelled the same way. Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Big fan. Huge fan.
Who do you have for Evelyn?
I liked, she already showed she kind of has a dark side in Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. But Natalie Portman, I like seeing her as a villain more.
Okay.
She's got that kind of look.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Evelyn. I went with Jeff Bridges. No.
Brilliant.
I went with Kate Blanchett.
Ooh, nice.
Thought I'd bring in some like real acting chops in there.
Strong.
You know?
Yeah, she'll take that role. Oscar award winning.
Why not? She does all these shitty George Clooney movies.
They're
kind of bad. That good German movie, that was horrible.
I went with Jennifer Garner.
Ooh. Oh.
Even though through half of the movie, I kept looking at her thinking it was Kirstie Alley.
It's the hair. Yeah,
she does. She looks a little like Kirstie Alley, but she's got like those eyes that... Those dead eyes.
Like a dove's
like
eyes.
Like a white walker.
How about the sorcerer? Or the sorceress?
Or the sorceress.
Yes, that's what
I meant. You know what? Why stick to one gender? it could be. Who do you have?
It's the 21st century, but I still went with Helen Mirren.
I went with Helen Mirren?
Yes! Fist bump.
I didn't even bother to recast it because all she did was just fucking stand there the entire
exactly.
time.
A little
didn't
bit
do
of
a damn thing. She was standing there in the beginning. She was standing there at the end.
But she was like young and old, and
yeah,
then
think
young
of the
again.
5 hours of makeup she had to go to look like Gina Davis from the end of Beetlejuice. You know what I'm talking about.
If you're gonna throw the makeup on back enough,
oh
you could have.
Oh my God! all right, so you know a little bit of Friends trivia. The chick,
the woman
who played.
You mean?
She played the sorceress. Also played. Monica's mom in Friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Elliot Gould's wife.
Another little bit of trivia there. Do you have anybody else?
I just have the Earth couple, Julie and Kevin, left. Did
okay.
you cast them?
Yes. I've got...
You've got
I
more
cast,
to go?
I cast like...
Holy shit, we
I
gotta get this
like
moving.
Charlie and I cast... No, I'm not gonna go through all that, but
okay.
I'll just go through some
For Julie, I got Michelle Trachtenberg. You familiar with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, some Michelle Trachtenberg
Dawn.
Fans out there.
Dawn.
That's right, exactly, from Buffy. And then Kevin, I went Shia LaBeouf.
Oh. Okay,
because he's in.
Why not? Let's
every movie
because he hasn't done enough '80s reboot yeah. movies.
What happened to that guy? Let's get him some work.
For my Julie, I cast Shailene Woodley.
I'm not familiar with
from
her
from Divergent. She's in Divergent.
She's fantastic.
She's
yes,
an excellent actress.
She's too good for this.
And I figured with such an excellent actress, I needed to match her with somebody who had some musical talent like
Shia
Kevin.
LaBeouf.
So I went with Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I love that guy.
I thought this might be his movie breakout role.
Would he have his Scottish accent
yes,
along
absolutely.
With it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't change
that's
anything
him.
About that at all. Did you have them?
I didn't cast.
We're fresh out of casting, Joe.
We're all out of that. All right, I'm going to run through like all just right. the rest of this stuff. For Blade, Ray Park.
Yeah, of course.
Beast
Darth
Man,
Maul.
Beastman played by Terry Crews.
I don't know who that is.
Terry Crews?
Nah.
The Old Spice commercials?
Oh, isn't he like the senator of Texas?
He was also. Oh my God!
I know you're talking about
the character of Lubick, Bruce Willis. Yes.
I like that.
Sorod, the guy who gets killed early on, but he's got that like lizard thing. Andy Serkis,
of course.
And
wait,
Karg,
in makeup or CGI? Andy Serkis.
It'd be CGI. Andy Serkis,
of course.
And the guy Karg with like the Kipwinger hair.
The 80s.
David Tennant.
I like it.
Because the doctor had to be represented. Guys, what did this movie do right?
Ooh. Well, not Dolph Lundgren, so I'll save that for the other question. But,
okay.
Joe, you have any thoughts? I'm struggling
what the
movie
here. Right?
I'm trying to think about
color
what it,
temperatures, the
right.
set. I enjoyed the movie. I really did. I enjoyed the movie. I like what the movie did. There are definitely some parts of this. Like, it's not a great movie.
Nope,
it's
nope.
barely even a good movie. But... I enjoy it. I enjoy it quite a bit. And there's just something really fun about going back and seeing it. And now the thing is, my father wouldn't let me go see it in the theater.
Maybe
I don't know why. I don't know why. We covered that already.
Yeah.
But when I got to finally see it, like rented on video and stuff, I kind of dug the hell out of it. I like it more every time I watch it.
Yeah. I think you like it more because it's like... A sign of rebellion because it was denied you, and so now you're doubling down.
I was telling
on it.
Doden, it's Stockholm Syndrome. I watched it 7 times in 2 weeks. I eventually was like, I love you.
Exactly
I love you.
Is.
I don't know
no,
why.
No, you know what? I will give it this. There's some great production value.
Uh-huh.
For $22 million, knowing what they pulled out of $22 million, like the effects and the costumes, and they really stretched their dollar.
Yeah.
Went bankrupt doing it,
yep.
but stretched it maybe a little too thin.
Way too thin. So what did the movie do wrong?
Well, hold on. What do you...
Oh.
You're
we
still
have another
here.
Guest here, Jim.
Oh, hi.
I thought the first 30 minutes was not as bad as I expected it to be.
Right?
That's what it did right in my
That's it? The first 30 minutes?
First 30 minutes was not as bad as I expected it.
And then everything after
that. It has decent production value. The gym, them coming in there and firing off the lasers had some, you know, really nice, like, okay, wow, that was... looked more real than I thought it would.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And of course, obviously, they caught the fucking place on fire.
Yeah.
But
where did it lose you then?
Immediately after. Anytime He-Man had to talk, anytime there was any form of dialogue, or any plot points, you know.
Plot schmott, who needs it? What about you, Joe?
I already said what I liked most about it.
Oh, yeah, but what do you hate about it?
What do I hate about it? Mm-hmm. I hate the whole Earth aspect.
Yes.
I didn't like the fact that they felt like they needed to go to Earth to make it relevant to an audience.
Cop out.
They could have done the whole thing. Like, it's really got this cool John Carter quality of it. And yes, I like the John Carter movie. There's this cool John Carter quality.
I know,
one dude. There's this cool quality to it that, you know, this otherworldly thing, sword and sorcery, but still kind of a futuristic feel as well.
Yeah.
I really liked where it was going until we went to Earth, and then it was just like, we've got Kevin and Julie. World. As if, like, I don't know why we had to give her dead parents. They could have just been a couple of kids that came across
up
this
to
thing.
No good.
Up to no good, and they came across the cosmic key. Instead, they had to have this weird drama going on with her, and then, like, no chemistry at all between the two of them.
Yeah.
It was wasted. It was wasted production. They could have taken all that Earth stuff out and done everything on Eternia, and it would have probably been a much more fun movie.
It would have been a 20-minute movie, but, yeah, it would have been much more enjoyable. I agree.
No Lubick, and I'm so glad he ended up on Eternia.
That's true.
That's where he decided. He's like, this is a great retirement.
Look what I got. I got this dame here.
I don't know how to do it. I can't do his voice.
That was pretty good.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? You feel free to come walk up to
the mic. Yeah, we've got a microphone here. And I
don't fall coming down the stairs. We could
maybe
bring
the lights
up a
little bit.
A tad.
So I heard some of you guys yelling out.
And if nobody comes down, just keep the lights down.
We got a suggestion here for a recast. Is that Mike Yabs?
Yabs.
I mean, who in the audience could this be?
He's about to do a 20-minute bit about being Christopher Walken.
No. Basically, those flying things that they stood on.
Yeah.
How the hell they control them?
The hoverboards?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a point where, like, Dolph Lundgren is, like, at a 45-degree angle.
He's upside down.
He's upside down.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
He's about to do the Spider-Man kiss.
And he is glued to that thing. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So,
yeah.
It's like a futuristic segue.
Maybe he was, you know what? Maybe he was controlling it with his toes.
He's got some manly toes.
Maybe he's controlling it with his mind.
I'm trying to make excuses. I have no idea. I don't know.
I was just wondering what you guys.
I didn't even think about that.
I've seen that movie 4 times now, and I still.
Wow! Like Clockwork Orange style, where they like pried your eyes open, and chained you to a chair.
3 years ago was the last time I actually.
Okay. Well, glad we could.
This will be the
revisit it here with you. Yeah. How would you recast this? Do you have any casting choices? I know we've taken all the good ones.
Let's see. He-Man.
Yes.
Martina Navratilova.
Too masculine.
Thanks, guys.
Unbelievable.
Well done. Thank you. All right. Anybody else have anything they'd like to?
Yeah. The one thing that, you know, I saw this like when I was like maybe 8, something like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The one thing I did not remember that really came through at the end of the movie was like the sensual nature of Skeletor.
Oh,
yes. When the ass whipping's going on.
When He-Man's getting whipped.
He's cringing and he's getting into it. I did not remember that.
That's right. He's like hiding behind his scepter, like secretly enjoying it.
Uh-huh. Did you know? There's one scene. Thank you. There's one scene where they come back and like Evil Lyn is like just kneeled in front of him and he's like rubbing her skull or something. And he's like, why can I not have what I want? And for a second, it's almost like an argument like that all guys have with their girlfriend on prom night. Like, why can't I have
just
what
this
I
once.
Want?
Just the tip, Evelyn.
Just the tip. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say?
Here we go.
Is Alex?
We'll fight for it.
You guys don't have to
form
fight.
A line.
Cage
a line.
Match. All right. So I've tried to, as an owner of this movie, unfortunately.
I think that's something you should celebrate, sir.
I do love it. I do love it, but then I have to watch it.
We're going to be giving away a copy of it too.
Is it on Blu-ray?
Yes,
I must have this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Joe. He's like, unfortunately, I own it, but I must have this.
Yes.
All right. So what's
everything's better on Blu-ray? You know this.
This is true. This is true.
Shut it, whore. All right. So if you had to explain this movie to someone that has never seen it before, doesn't know who He-Man is, my way would be it's Flash Gordon plus Star Wars, but they had an aborted baby.
Oh.
Oh, God.
And that's what you got.
Okay.
So I want to know how you guys would
It's Thor. Have you seen the first Thor movie?
There you go.
That is exactly what this is.
That's a good point.
But that this had money.
Almost point for point, this is Thor. There's like shit going down in Asgard, and he ends up getting like banished to Earth and has to come back somehow, and there's even a fight where Loki falls. This is Thor.
That's
true. But we don't get the Return of the Jedi lighting that we get at the end of this one.
That's true. This is better.
Yes.
Good point.
Are you really saying this is a better movie than Thor?
Thank you.
Depending on how drunk you are watching it?
Yeah. I would take this over Thor any day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought this movie was way more fun to watch than Thor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Recasting options? Any recasting options before you head away?
Ooh, I don't know.
All right, well, then get the back of the line.
Well, fuck you too, Whitey.
Thanks.
All right, what do we got?
Sir, right, so state your name and...
Social Security.
No, it's all good.
All right. My favorite thing was when Blade gets the, like, Blade of Eternia.
Blade.
He does this character moment that is amazing. He's like, I got it.
Yes.
And it's the best thing I've seen in this whole movie.
Do you know what? There's another Blade moment that's like when he finds He-Man. They're like in that little warehouse area.
Right.
And He-Man shows up and Blade pulls out his swords and he's like, I've waited a long time for this. And all I can do is sit there and go, who the fuck are you? I don't remember you at all. Why are you talking like that?
He had an awesome costume.
There's
swords.
There was a lot of posing, especially when they went through like portals. You know, they come through the portals and it's like, what? And looking around. Like, nobody went through the portal first. It was like, hey, come on through. There's nobody here.
It's just as we expected. Coast is clear.
It's a high school gymnasium. Yeah. No, there was a lot of posing and stuff.
Right.
Is there anybody that you would recast in this film?
Wesley Snipes as Blade.
As Blade. Well done. Thank you. Thank you very much.
If only he weren't so busy.
Okay, sir.
My biggest problem with it is the Bill and Ted style temporal paradox at the end.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to have to go, hey, dude, we're going to have to go to that cemetery a year from now and make sure we find that so we can have this whole adventure all over again.
Oh, that's a good point.
Unless they made like a parallel universe where they never
If it's the multiverse theory, then it works out fine. But if it's a singular timeline, we have a temporal paradox. Right. And Janeway hates temporal paradoxes.
Thank you.
Bring it around to Voyager.
No, apparently we can't.
My theory is the actor that played Man-at-Arms, he looked at the script.
Yeah.
So basically, look, this is a paycheck. The guy looked drunk.
Yeah.
The guy looked shit-faced the entire movie. He
probably was.
Like, damn it, Wildor, can you just get it to work?
Wildor.
He's just, the whole scene where he's like, you got to follow your nose. Like, is actually him actually hungry on the set?
Anybody got any fried chicken around here?
Gary Goddard was just like, let's just use it. Just use it.
He's eating ribs. Just fuck, just shoot.
It's the scene about ribs.
Yes, let him have the ribs. <All
right. laughs> Robbie's wasn't even in the original script. He just wandered off.
We're losing life. Like,
you know, I get another great performance from the cow.
Yeah. He really chewed that cud.
Great
timing. Cue.
I have to agree with you too about Helen Mirren because once she got on the screen, it's like, okay, Helen Mirren.
She already looks like Helen Mirren.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Hard to disagree.
And with Evelyn, I would go with Angelina Jolie because the whole Maleficent look. Yeah,
she's got
the Maleficent thing going on.
Maleficent.
Right. I like that. God bless you.
That's true.
And for Gwildor, whatever he was called, a reincarnate Billy Barty. Sorry.
We just reanimate his corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
The Walking Dead.
The makeup he was in already looked like a corpse anyway, so you could just puppeteer him. I like that. I like that idea.
He was cute.
Yeah, prop him up with some sandbags.
I liked him in this movie.
He's adorable.
All right. Well, if nobody has anything else, I think we'll go ahead and we'll wrap this up. Want to tease our next episode that we're going to be doing after this. This one's going to go up, and then you're going to Europe.
That's
for
right. I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Countdown.
Or that song.
Wow. But then after that, when you come back, we are going to go kind of chick flick. We're going to go kind of musical. A little movie called Xanadu.
Some Xanadu fans in the audience.
Looking forward to that one. Do you have anything that you'd like to add, Doden? You going to be doing any gigs anywhere?
I do not have any.
You got any babies being born soon?
I have a baby due, and that's going to be occupying the majority of my time for the next...
A little Doden. Little Dodens. where can we...
Did you say Doden?
Doden's. He's going to have plural. Maybe we'll have twins.
Doden. We're keeping it Doden.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I just want to give Doden a shout out. Where can we find you, Doden?
Well, he's right here to my left, asshole.
Where can we find you in the cyber world?
In the cyber world, you can find me at Matt Doden on Twitter or also on Facebook and occasionally at Backdoor Comedy Club.
Yes.
Is that a euphemism for something? Or?
Oh, no.
It's literally a backdoor comedy club.
Right in.
Okay. It's not the dumpster behind the building after the show? Okay.
Dude, thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean my asshole, not the dumpster back there.
I appreciate you joining us. Thank you guys for coming out and checking this movie out and sitting through this thing. Appreciate that. And for Joel, for Matt, I'm Joe. We are the Editing Bay. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.